Hello again, and welcome to Slow Flowers with Deborah Prinzing, episode 108. This is the podcast about American-grown flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Christina Stemble of San Francisco-based Farm Grow Flowers. Christina has poured considerable heart, soul, and personal resources into developing her innovative floral design business. Customers and the media have responded enthusiastically. You may have seen her recently in Martha Stewart Living magazine. Christina is a true original. She shares her story in our interview, but you can also hear her insights in episode 101 when we were panelists along with Kathy Brunzell of Sunset Magazine at a floral industry trade show. And I'll be sure to put a link to that interview on DeborahPrinzing.com. We've been wanting to do this podcast interview for a while, but the fun thing is we were on that panel together at Spun and Sun, so I'm going to put a link on my website to that panel so people can hear you talk about your business and how it's developed. So I won't make you go into all those details today.
But that was so much fun doing that panel, though. So if you haven't listened to it, you should.
That's right. So Farm Grow Flowers is your business. You are a rock star. You've got Martha Stewart writing about you and everybody else. Can you just summarize your business a little bit, and then we'll talk about some other things?
Definitely. So our business is about 3 years old. It's new in the flower industry. When you talk to people, a lot of times I've been in the industry 20, 30 years. So fairly new. It's a little different business model than the traditional flower shop. We're e-commerce only online. We operate from the Flower Mart here in San Francisco, which has been wonderful being here actually in the market. So we have a website. 99% of all the orders are placed through our website. Instead of offering hundreds of options like most e-commerce flower companies do, we offer one daily arrangement made of all locally grown flowers. So we've made the choice to support our local growers by only offering local grown seasonal flowers. So the flowers are more special that way. When they're in season, we get excited to use them. And then we do something really cool here in San Francisco. It's available here because the city is a perfect size. I know it's not possible a lot of different places, but we deliver by bicycle, courier, and scooter here in San Francisco. So it's a fun model.
I love it. I just saw that scooter parked in front of your bay.
It's so fun, isn't it?
So from about what radius of do these flowers come from?
So we started with 200 miles of San Francisco. We have changed that model to be domestic because we are gearing up for national delivery. So we'll be using all national, all domestic product grown in the U.S.
Okay.
So we are changing our messaging a bit. We still try to buy the majority of our flowers within 200 miles. Most are within 100 miles of us here. We do buy from Sun Valley and Arcata now. That's probably the one grower that's outside of that radius.
But they're still California.
They're still California, 100% California grown.
That's cool.
But most of them are even closer to home here.
Well, you are a bit of a rabble-rouser here at the Mart, and we've just had such a good conversation over lunch, and I wanted to revisit some of the things that we've touched on relating to the state of the floral industry and what you're seeing from, you're kind of in the middle. You're between the consumer and the grower, but you're also dealing with the wholesalers. Are you hopeful that things are going to change because you're in the midst of it, or what are you seeing in terms of, maybe we'll just start at the farm level and then we'll work our way through the chain of distribution.
Perfect. Yeah, there's a lot of different areas here that we've been talking about, which I love. I'm actually really excited. I think it's, when I started Farm Grow Flowers, there wasn't a lot. It was before your book even came out. So there wasn't a lot of talk. It was all really new, and all the research that I did was really buried and hard to read and hard to understand, and there just wasn't a lot written and a lot of knowledge or education around the subject. I kind of saw it as a huge opportunity, like the organic food movement and local food movement, and basically to like textiles and technology and how people are really becoming more aware of where those products were coming from. You know, made in China kind of started to get kind of a negative connotation instead of a positive. You know, companies were changing the name to sourcing and stuff that was a little more obscure, so you wouldn't know that that's what it really was.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I saw it as, like, this is a great opportunity where I think the education will grow in the next couple of years. And I've been so happy that I was right on that point, and that people really are starting to care about where their flowers come from. The article in the SAF that was written about us, she did a great job of, I didn't even remember this till I was talking to her in this interview about how I remember sitting in a, farm to table restaurant and seeing that there were carnations on the table and being so bugged by that, because I just started the research process about this idea. And being like, here, everything they're, touting, it's all within 50 miles of the city here. And yet the carnations, I'm 100% sure those are not local, since
they're probably imported.
I'm sure they're imported. I asked the waitress, she had no idea. And if they were, because there's one local grower I know of in California that grows carnations, but very small scale. If they were from that grower, that's not within 50 miles of here, by the way.
Well,
then they would know.
And they should have been telling people.
Yes, they would have been telling. So I'm 99% sure that those were imported. And so, things like that really bothersome to me, I saw is, let's do a positive spin on this and let's help with the education process. And so I've been really happy to see that it is taking place. People are more aware of that now. I see it as like a cycle, just like the coffee industry, just like textiles, just like technology, where people are now like more aware of it and wanting to learn more and care about where their flowers come from.
So they're actually coming to you because that is part of your business model. Mm-hmm. They know you are going to connect them with flowers that were grown locally.
Yes. When we asked our consumers why they use farm real flowers, we do focus groups periodically, small, just test market focus groups. And when we asked them why they use farm real flowers, wanting to find out, when we added scooters, I wanted to make sure that the reason they were using us wasn't solely based on using bicycle couriers, because we wanted to add scooters to our fleet. To expedite delivery quicker, and there's a lot of hills in San Francisco for those of you that know the city.
Those poor bicycle messengers.
Totally, right? And one delivery to the far Netherlands of San Francisco could take 2 hours going there and back, so we wanted to speed that up.
Sure.
But when asked consumers why they use us, the number one and two answer that were very, very close in percentage-wise were because they really appreciated our aesthetic. Number one is actually our aesthetic. They really like our aesthetic. But number two, and by 1% or less than 1%, it was so close, was that we use local grown. So the two main reasons people use Farm Girl are because they like our aesthetic, because it's a more modern aesthetic than what they could get from the other leading e-commerce companies, at a better price than what they could get from a designer, because we're right in the middle niche, and because they really appreciated that they knew. They don't need to know what flowers are in season when they order from us. They trust us. They know that whatever we're using is domestic grown in season flowers, and it takes the guesswork out of it for them.
Absolutely.
So, and I kind of got away from your question though, and I'm sorry about that.
Oh no, that's okay. Well, we can circle back to the grower. Perfect. In that the growers are probably so inspired to meet you and see what kind of bouquets their beautiful flowers are ending up in, and
they
feel like they're getting recognized and celebrated by Farm Girl Flowers.
Definitely. There's been a whole shift with the growers too. When I first started, and I love joking with one of the growers here at the Mart, because he loves telling the story to people about how when he first met Christina, she came to the market to buy, I bought 200 pumpkins from him for an event I was doing at Stanford when I worked there. And I had just, I was working on this business plan, this idea, and, I wanted to run it by him. And I'd met him once before, but he didn't remember me from this time when I used to live down in New Half Moon Bay Area, and was talking to him about it then. So he loves telling the story. I can't come in. I have this great grandiose idea. This is what I'm going to do to transform the flower industry. And he said, when I walked away, he thought, well, she has a lot of great energy and I like her smile, but there's no way that's going to happen, And this is a grower that imports probably 50% of what he sells now. He's very anti, I won't give his name away, but he was very anti, he's still very anti, the imports have done this to us, and yet he still imports half
right.
of this product.
Wow.
And so, we constantly have this ribbing back and forth, because I'm like, you can't be against it and still participate in it. You have to make a stand. So we're choosing to use local flowers. This is my example to them all the time. We're choosing to use local flowers, even though I could get the alternatives for a lot cheaper. We're making that choice. Our margins are going to be less than what we would if we use imports, and we're able to make up for that by offering less options, so we have a lot less waste than what traditional flower shops have. So it works. We thought creatively outside of the box to come up with ways that we can make it work, but it's a choice. It's not that we just happen to want to use local flowers. It's a choice, and so we need them to alter their way of thinking to also make that choice. And what's been really exciting with the growers is to see, initially when I started out, you know, we were really small, like every other business, you know, having 2 and 4 and 5 orders a day. And, you know,
you were so excited.
Yeah, exactly. Coming and, you know, buying all these, you know, little tiny, here's my $70 worth of flowers and eight, you know, so we were small. So it didn't seem to have that much weight, what I was saying. And then to see us, we've ramped up pretty quickly in 3 years. And, you know, now it's just they clamor to be like, what can we grow for you? What, you know, and they want to know what they should be growing, what we're using. So they know, like, even at their planting cycles and what colors we want. It's wonderful to see that they get to see. It's kind of like, it sounds a little narcissistic, and I don't mean this in a, you know, pat ourselves on the back way. It's exciting for me to see the excitement that they have that, you know, that their product is in demand. You know, right. It's like, look, you know, your product that you're growing in Half Moon Bay or Pescadero or, you know, Watsonville, people want that. And so it's like a pride of ownership type thing. So it's really exciting to see that. And it's definitely transformed in the last 3 years among them as well.
Well, and I think I agree. And I think that also you're connecting the farmers with who the customer is. And yes. Often that's such a, you know, distant relationship, mm-hmm. and you're kind of the person in the middle saying, oh my God, I absolutely love that beautiful dahlia, and I'm going to make that the centerpiece of my program this week, yep. and I'm going to tell everybody where this was grown, mm-hmm. and who grew it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, of course, you probably see them stand up a little straighter.
Definitely.
Prouder.
I'm proud of the arrangements we make, and we love posting those pictures on Facebook and Instagram and all of our social media channels. And so, you know, they're, you know, not as, you know, savvy in the social media thing. And to see them even getting on Facebook and looking at the ring, oh, that's mine, and that's my dahlia, and that's my rose. And it's wonderful to see that, you know. Nothing makes me happier than that.
So we've talked about the farmers and how kind of they're on board, and I know you're a bit of a missionary. I mean, you're trying to bring people into this. What I, of course, am already a believer, so
yes.
I like to see these eyes being opened and minds being opened. There is that other niche there here at the Mart, and that's the wholesaler, and mm-hmm. or is it a hybrid of grower wholesaler? I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. How do they fall into this mix?
So it's a hybrid. The market used to be predominantly growers, and sadly that has fallen away. Now there's only 6 or 7 growers left here that are just pure growers,
direct growers.
Okay. The rest here are all wholesalers. And you won't think they're wholesalers because they don't look like the wholesalers that you sometimes see in suits and, you know, that are all like
corporate. Yeah.
They look like growers, but they're not. They've, you know, a lot of them have worked for growers in the past and then started buying. And but they're mostly wholesalers here. The smaller wholesalers have been, and really all the wholesalers here at the market have been really welcoming. And we buy a lot of flowers, which I'm sure helps, but they've been just very supportive of our mission. They've been great at telling us what is local and what is not local. The wholesalers here have been wonderful at that. Like anything I pick up at Torchio, and that I love Torchio as a wholesaler, they're wonderful. You know, they'll just be like, shake their finger at me, which you can't see from the recording, but I just, you know, they shake their finger and be like, no, you know?
They know you're going to ask, so they're cutting you off before you get too engaged.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll constantly be taking pictures of things that are imported, looking them up, finding out where they could be grown in California, and then I want to talk to the growers in those regions to grow those things, because most of the flowers that are imported can be grown here. They just, I mean, there's a few that aren't, that can't be because of temperatures, ideal temperatures and things,
right.
But 90% of all the flowers can be grown here, and if they knew there was the demand, they would probably grow them. So, you know, that's really exciting too, where I can be like, you know, Lane at Sun Valley is like, send me a picture and I'll see what we can do, you know, and stuff like that, where you can
it's
actually
brilliant.
Yeah, you know, San Diego has very, you know, similar temperatures to a lot of the ones that are, you know, grown south, so we can work that out and get some new types of varieties here.
So last week when mm-hmm. I interviewed Ellen Frost from Local Color Flowers in Baltimore, she mm-hmm. said she has a Pinterest page that is titled Flowers We Want Our Growers to Grow.
I love it.
So you need to do that here.
I love it. I do that on Instagram sometimes where I'm like, Blushing Bride, I love. I'd never seen that before this year, and nobody grows it that I can find in California. I guess there's someone in December that will grow it, but it doesn't grow the same blush pink color, and so we're working on that.
Okay.
We'll get Blushing Bride.
So you really are, you were like almost like
a
fashion, yeah, you're like a fashion interpreter for either knowing what the
yes.
customer wants or what you want,
yes.
And kind of nudging these growers or these
yes.
wholesalers along.
Yes. I mean, even things like, remember that dinner where the buds of the Gerber daisies? Well, you know, I won't go into the whole story here, but I really wanted the buds of Gerberides. I'm like, we could totally, those are beautiful. And we would use those in all of our arrangements. Those are a little like scabiosa bit type thing. And then found out from the growers once we talked about it that they couldn't cut them because they would die too. There's a whole...
That did blow my mind though when you said, I don't like the open Gerbera, but I like the little bud. Yes. As it's starting to open, I'm listening to this thinking, this girl, her mind is crazy.
But they could even probably charge double for it, I told them, because they'd be like a new, you know...
Hip new flower.
New flower that everybody would be wanting to use because it's different and people like things, they don't know what it is. You know, if only we could figure out a way to make them last once they're cut at that stage.
We're going off on a tangent, but I love it. I actually, a grower in Washington does that with sunflowers. And the first time I saw sunflower in bud, I honestly did not know what it was.
We use them all the time here. I love it.
So you've already jumped on that.
They open still, too, which is blows my mind. I didn't think that they would open once they're cut in bud. So when I would use them always with other ones that would, you know, we still do that. So you'll have some color and some non-color. But what's amazing to me is they all open up then even, which is great, because then you get 3 weeks out of it. Oh, sorry.
Well, okay. Yep. So we've talked about the wholesaler. One thing I wanted to ask you a little bit more about is this whole conversation we had earlier today about trying to get the wholesalers to buy into this overt transparency with the floral customer. And maybe it's you've moved people along further. In other markets of the U.S., I've heard stories about wholesalers being very protective, not wanting to tell the floral buyer where such and such was grown, or what, you know, because they're afraid the florist is going to do an end run around them or something. So how do you address that, and what do you wish the wholesalers would do?
So it's kind of two parts to me. First is, I even have that problem with wholesalers here, and I understand it completely, because, you know, we do buy direct from a lot of farms, and we would prefer to work directly with the grower, because then they get the most money that they can. Yeah. We want to help the local growers, and not that we don't want to help the wholesalers, because we know it's a, you know, we all need to work together to make this work US-wide. I mean, we're really fortunate here in California to be able to work directly with the growers. Other places, you know, if I still live back in Indiana, I would need to work with wholesalers to be able to get it year-round. Right. So,
See, they need to survive, and but they also maybe can change.
Definitely. So it's more US-wide, global. I understand why we all need to work together. You know, it's very different here in California. There are a lot of wholesalers here at the market that I buy from that are still to this day, even though I know them very, very well, will not tell me where they get their garden roses. They'll tell me where they're grown. They're grown in Pescadero. They're grown in, you know, Petaluma. They're grown wherever they're grown. They'll tell me. They won't tell me who it's for. And I say, I'm not going to buy direct from them. Mm-hmm. I will continue to buy directly from you. Things from you. I just want to confirm that they're grown there. And so they'll give me their solemn word that that's where they're grown from. I mean, they've even, you know, they'll show me their mileage for how I got here to start stalking these guys. So I get their apprehension with that, because it's their livelihood and it's their bread and butter too. So I get that. The feedback I've received from wholesalers that are not at the Flower Mart has been very different than the ones that are here at the Flower Mart. Because everybody's very used to me here and know me personally, and then I'm a very honest, loyal person. I mean, a lot of the growers and wholesalers here have given us keys where we even go into their coolers when they're not here and we write down everything we take. We're very trustworthy.
Right.
So
you've really earned that respect and
we've
trust.
We've earned that. Mm-hmm. People that don't know us that well, of course I don't anticipate them to have the same feelings of trust for us. So the responses that I've received from wholesalers elsewhere has not been as positive, but I can completely understand that it's out of a place of fear.
Yeah.
Other florists we've had the same issue with when first starting out, because there's a fear. We're coming into their area where they've operated this way for many, many years, and we're threatening them. We're threatening their bread and butter and their livelihood, and saying, we're changing this industry. Like, we, you know, probably sound a little crazy or conceited or whatever when we say we want to transform the flower industry. We do. That's our goal, is to transform the flower industry. We kind of, you know, in a more hip way of saying is, we want to kick it old school and kind of take it back to the way it used to be, more so, where you did buy flowers that were in season and you bought them locally. There weren't huge, you know, jets being flown in just with flowers and like there is today. I can see their apprehension and their fear, and so what I'm trying to do is show them how there is a big demand for local flowers. There's a huge demand, and it's only going to continue to increase. It's not going to decrease. This is not a fad that's going to go away in a year. you know, the textile industry with the sweatshops didn't go away. Now people are more than ever worried about where their things are made, that the working conditions of people in Bangladesh and China, right, where things are made are, I mean, as good as what they want to believe they are, you know, right. I'm sure there's, you know, and I don't think that it's going to go away. I don't think this is like, oh, the local flower movement is just a fad. The food movement, it's a very easy transition or easy
connection
to make. And the food movement has only increased. And I think it will do so with the flower industry. So what I'd like to do is work closer with them to show them how there is this demand and how we can get enough product locally, domestically, and help change the way people are thinking about what they're buying. So I understand what I think is we need to start with the florist too. I think that the people that are buying the flowers, if they're asking, more of them are asking for local grown, I think it's going to take a movement among us to say, this is what we want. And so then the wholesalers will say, okay, well, we're going to have to change, right, or we're not going to be in business.
It's kind of providing or more of a grassroots pressure is being put on that wholesaler. I love that you brought up other florists, because I know you hear from florists all over the country. And they probably just want to get a little bit of your sparkle and dust it on themselves so they can have the farm girl mystique. But but you have these conversations, and I think there's some that you can genuinely exchange information with, because you're both on the same, going down the same path.
Yes.
And there's others who are probably bewildered by your model. But of course, it's probably very flattering to get all this attention from the other local fans. So what are you seeing that you're hearing from people all over the country?
We do
want to hear how you're doing your working your magic.
Yes, when we first started, the response wasn't good with other florists, and like I mentioned, I can totally understand why. It was scary when you've been in business 20 or 30 years and there's this new girl in town that, you know, doesn't come from the industry and, you know, and is trying to change everything up. And I can see that that's threatening. And so at first it was just kind of like trying to earn trust and say, like, you know, we're a different niche. We're not trying to steal the high end. We're kind of coming, you know, our goal is to be a socially conscious alternative to the leading e-commerce companies. So that's what our goal is. We're not trying to take away from the designer local florists. In fact, we want to encourage other designer local florists to use local flowers instead of imported flowers. And we want that sparkle, to share that sparkle in those ways.
And I can see why, because if those sort of, I don't know, country club florists or the wedding florists are shifting to local, it's only going to benefit the farmer, which means those farmers will feel more confident growing for you and everyone else.
Exactly. One person isn't going to change this. It's not one, you know, one company isn't going to change this model around, and we need everybody to join together to change the model. We have, and you and I have talked about, you know, it's very flattering that so many people want to do similar models to Farm Girl Flowers, and we really want to encourage people to take bits and pieces of our model. The big areas we want to help people in is to connect them with local growers. We're more than willing to help anybody who needs, you know, assistance in finding a wholesaler that will supply local flowers to them, or direct growers if they live in an area where they can get local flowers.
Right.
Usually when people contact me from, you know, places like Indiana, where I used to live, Indiana was an example, Michigan recently, it takes me about 10 minutes to find some local farms on Google. It's not hard.
Right.
So we just kind of give some education, like, just Google it. Here's some we found really quickly.
Here's some terms you can use.
Exactly. Yeah. And then here's some wholesalers that we work directly with that I know can get you local flowers, and will be very honest about them being local flowers if you want to order from them on the 6 months of the year that you can't get local when you're in the Midwest. And
that's a lot of information to share right there.
Yeah, we're more than happy doing that. We're working on a new website right now that will include this information for people. We want to be very transparent, and we're extremely transparent on our website because we feel it's really important. What we don't want to encourage is copycats. We are really working hard to create a transformation in the industry and a new model, and we want people to take the parts that are helping the local growers. The other part that is huge that we want everybody to embrace is to limit the options. You know, we've trademarked the daily arrangement, but we have no issue with people limiting their options and offering, you know, weekly, monthly, like just seasonal flowers without having 600 options like a lot of people do.
Right.
Because the waste is a big problem. 50% of flowers that are grown, they say, it depends on the study, up to 50% of flowers that are grown are never sold. They go bad before they're sold. So, you know, what we equate it to with people, a very easy analogy is, you know, when you go into a flower shop, you know, people that aren't in the industry and have no idea. When you go into a flower shop and you wonder why those, you know, six tulips, that little bunch of six tulips cost you $12 or $13, you know, it's because those lilies that are way blown open and are ready to go in the trash or compost bin, you know, are going to be thrown out, and they have to subsidize that. So, the, you know, these wow. local florists have to, you know, make it work, but they offer so many options. So there are two main areas we want people, everybody to embrace. It's to limit the options, which will limit your waste, which limits our environmental impact, limits the amount that you need to buy, which gives you a bigger bottom line, a higher profit margin, so then you can afford to use the local grown flowers as opposed to the import. So it all is kind of a big circle that works if you work it out that way.
That's so compelling too, because you referred to the old school model, mm-hmm. and I'm sure in a way up until the 1950s that's how people enjoyed flowers. Exactly. What was being grown right then, mm-hmm. in that same town or in the greenhouse next door or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't have big jet planes coming in and bringing peonies in January. And honestly, when florists will tell us all the time, well, we can't say no, everybody wants them for their wedding. And yeah, peonies are my favorite flower too, just like 90% of women out there. And yet, you know, I got married in September, so I didn't have peonies at mine. You know, as much as I'm like, I love peonies, garden roses, special varieties of garden roses, look exactly like peonies. Well, I shouldn't say exactly. People but no. argue that, but they look so similar. That,
the you know, mood that you wanted to create could be achieved with other flowers.
Exactly. Yeah. Or in January, ranunculus. Or, you know, you can do the same mood with the same color vibrancy as peonies other times of year using other flowers. And it actually makes it more exciting to me when peonies do come in season. It's like right. I look forward to that all year.
Right. So. It's so true. It's Michael Pollan writes about this in, you know, The Omnivore's Dilemma about, yes. you know, you want to taste that tomato when it's really a tomato.
Yes.
And you want to enjoy you want to enjoy that flower when it's supposed to be growing in the garden.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think those are inspiring messages that anybody could emulate, mm-hmm. and hopefully put their own aesthetic on that look and
brand and everything like that.
Yeah. And Farm Girl Flowers has a look. And I was mentioning this to you earlier that, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery, but it's got to be frustrating because your look is you. You're the artist. Mm-hmm. And I hope people realize that that's very special and they can take their own approach to it and maybe do something completely different.
Yeah. Just think outside the box and think about, I mean, there's, you know, we went through several variations until we came up with what we are. Mm-hmm. And along the way we had like 10 different ideas, and it was actually hard for me to limit it to the ideas that I had. And so I know that there's so many more ways that people can even think more creatively than we've even been.
Well, yeah, so. I don't know about that.
Well, thank you.
I just have to say, I walked into your bay earlier before we started the interview, and it is almost fall, and mm-hmm. just seeing how you interpret fall with the foliage and the flowers and the grasses and the wild textures, but the colors are just so autumnal, but not like Halloween-y, but they just this... There's an expression that I think I can't imagine why people are so excited to get those bouquets. You've got a lot of loyal customers.
We do. We appreciate them so much, so much.
And you've created this community too. And how many followers do you have on Instagram?
We have 25,000, over 25,000 followers on Instagram.
And they're hungry. They want photos.
Totally. And about 10,000 on Facebook, authentic fans, and they're very engaged. You know, we put a picture. I'm just floored by the direct feedback we get. So the other thing I would really recommend is fully using social media, because the direct feedback, and use it authentically, you know, don't buy the fans, do it the organic right way to do it, because what you'll see is the direct feedback you get. We do polls on Facebook, like we'll ask, you know, we were trying to figure out how to get recycled glass vases made in the U.S. and it's pretty much impossible unless you're able to spend $50 a vase, which we can't, and have a competitive price point. So we did a poll. Would you prefer recycled glass or would you prefer made in the U.S. glass? And overwhelmingly, over 90% made in the U.S. glass. So you get direct feedback from your customers that way. Or the other thing is, I really prefer, my natural inclination is to do all muted tones. I love muted tones and flowers. And, you know, I would share a lot of muted tone photos, and the response was like,
they're pretty, but where's your color? We need more color. And so then we would do photos of arrangements with very vibrant colors, and over, you know, went from 400 likes to 800 likes from those. So we get to see what people actually want.
It's like your test marketing.
It is.
A bouquet.
Immediately. Like, wow. We get that within 60 minutes of posting a picture. We'll see, oh, well, that one only got 200 likes, so that one wasn't a very popular one. Where this one got 800 likes and 200 shares on people's Facebook pages, and we're like, okay, well, that one was very well received, so let's do more this way.
And it's so sudden and immediate that you mm-hmm. can do that.
Yeah, it's social media is very beneficial if you use it the right way for direct customer feedback that you used to have to spend lots of money doing polls and sending out surveys that nobody wants to fill out, and now you don't even have to do that. You
right.
know?
Well, you're engaging them in your business. They mm-hmm. want you to succeed because you've invited their input, and yes. I love that.
They love it, and it's almost embarrassing here at the market. We have people come in several times a week wanting to take pictures with us, even. Like, they follow us on Instagram.
You're like the fish guys in the Pike Place Market.
It's kind of crazy. We're like, okay, but we feel a little weird doing this because we're just making some flower arrangements, you know? But it's really cute because they're like, I, you know, came here from, you know, Sacramento just to see you. And, you know, we're here on vacation from the Midwest and wanted to come see you at the market. And it's really cute.
Well, that's what I did the first time I met you.
It's wonderful. It was a wonderful surprise.
Oh, that's great. Well, before we close, is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to make sure we touch on? Or do you want to hint at something down the road? Or, you know, what do you have up your sleeve?
I will hint at something. So I kind of mentioned very quickly that we are working on national delivery. So next year we're hoping to roll out in stages. So I won't give specific dates because those always change, right? But we are working on it very, very, you know, steadily
diligently
right now. So next year we'll be rolling out national delivery, which is going to be really exciting.
And you already know that's going to be successful because all these Facebook friends of yours keep asking for it,
we
right?
We have a waiting list of like hundreds long of people that have asked us for different areas of the United States. So to be able to accommodate everybody at the same time, we're going to be shipping nationally. It will be in a box, but it'll be really, we have some exciting things for it, and it'll be definitely a greener alternative box using a lot, significantly less, hopefully about 40% less post-consumer waste that we're working on with some eco-packagers. And it's going to be really exciting. The other thing we're working on we haven't figured a name for it, so this will change as well. We're calling it the Unblog.
Oh, I thought that really was the name, the Unblog.
No, maybe it might. We're working on some names for it, but it's going to be a really great resource, I think, for everybody that's really interested in the local flower movement. And it won't just be, it, you know, we'll be the ones, you know, creating it and hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
And paying for it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a gathering place is how we see it for information. It's really hard for me to get all the information that I wanted, and that's what I'm hearing from people is like, you know, everybody has the same stats, you know, 75% of every, you know, everybody has a little bit different, 80% of all flowers grown are imported now and all the same stats, but where do those come from and what does it look like? And there's a lot more when you dig into it deeper, there's a lot more statistics that are equally staggering and disturbing that we want people to have access to. And we just want a place where people can go to get more information about local growers in their area, be able to submit their local growers and have, like, see the face. You know, even McDonald's is doing the meet the growers for the
meet the French fries guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to show these wonderful people that are growing our flowers all over and fun stuff like videos and, you know, how-tos and things like that because that, you know, it's always very engaging.
Great.
And my personal favorite that I really want to include is our favorite recipient cards because we just get the biggest laugh out of people, right? People are very creative out there. So
I told you earlier this could be an expose. You know?
I know, right? It's great.
Oh, well,
so that's probably cool. Coming later this fall or early next year. You know, to be realistic, probably early next year, but I'm really pushing to try to get a beta out there later.
Yeah,
this fall.
And I will help you promote that.
Thank
and we
you.
Will
pro-
probably end up cross promoting each
we
other.
We will definitely.
So.
You're going to be a very big part of it. Little do you know yet, but you will.
I think there's a lot of people who are just poised to jump on board and be part of this movement with us. And I'm just having this conversation. We'll get, you know, this idea out to others who aren't on the West Coast, who aren't in San Francisco. And it's not just a West Coast phenomenon.
No, it's not.
So
some of the best ones I've found that I follow on Instagram myself and that I'm so into. And I have, like, little, you know, floral crushes on them, you know, are all on the East Coast. And I can't wait to go visit them sometime soon.
Oh, well, that's a perfect way to end. I have a floral crush on you, and I'm so glad we're friends. And thanks for being on this podcast with me. And I think it'll stimulate more conversation that we'll have in the future.
Definitely. Let's keep it going.
Okay, thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, Deborah.
Thanks for listening to this conversation with Christina. Through Farm Girl Flowers, she has changed the way consumers connect with flowers. She's stimulated a new approach to the farm, wholesale, and florist level, and has inspired consumers to think about local, think about seasonal, and think about the environmental impact of the flowers they consume. You can learn more about Christina at my website, deborahprinzing.com. I particularly love this quote from Christina. "We made the choice to support our local growers by only offering locally grown seasonal flowers. The flowers are more special that way when they are in season." Until next time, please join me in this mission of the Slow Flowers podcast. Let's put more American-grown flowers on every table, one vase at a time.